The following is intended solely for the use of those with a sense of adventure.
I'm shaking the dust of this town off my feet, and I'm going to see the world.
This is Travel with Hawkeye. Here's your host, Mark Hawkeye Lewis.
So a few weeks ago on our podcast, we had comedian Bert Kreischer, who's also on the Travel Channel, who was for a very long time. And he said, you know what? If you really want to be on the Travel Channel, don't wait for the Travel Channel to call. Start yourself making videos and posting them on YouTube. And so our guest today on the Travel with Hawkeye podcast actually did that quite some time ago and now has millions and millions of views and some of the funniest and best travel videos that I've seen out there. I'm a big fan of his. And the website's called waltersworld.com. That's where you can find all the videos that he makes. And there's quite a few of them. And they kind of have a different take. So I thought, you know what? We've got to have this gentleman on our podcast. So joining us is the host of Walter's World. And I get my first thing to say to you is, your name is not Walter, is it?
No, it's Mark, just like you. Yeah, it's funny because people will write us all the time, like, Walter, what do you mean, Walter? And then people get upset. Why do you keep writing Mark? I'm like, well, that's actually my name. Walters is my family name. They're like, oh. And it's pretty funny because people are, I mean, I'm not sure, half the emails we'll get will be people, we've been subscribing for years, Walter, thank you so much. Like, the beginning of every video, I say, hey there, fellow travelers, Mark here from Walter's World. I'm like, literally every video for like the last like 4 years, I'll start to say.
Well, and the other thing that's interesting too is actually you're a doctor. You teach at, right now, currently you teach at the University of Illinois, but you've taught all over the world.
Yeah, I've been very lucky. I taught in Lithuania when I first started teaching. I got to teach in China. I've taught in Germany. I've taught in Austria. I've taught all over the place. In Portugal, I did my PhD. It was really a great experience to be able to teach around the world and meet students around the world because it gives you a different perspective because students are similar in their ways of, I don't want to get up early. I don't like homework. But then how they work and stuff like that is very different. So it kind of lets you understand the culture a bit better. So it's kind of a cool thing.
And the thing also, too, I think you'll agree, there's a little bit of, well, I would say there's a vast difference between traveling to a country and living in a country. And you've got the chance to do that. And you can pass along tips about, hey, what you need to see and everything. Because most of us get maybe a week. We'll get to be in Portugal.
Yeah.
But you've got to, you know, what a great experience getting to live all around the world.
Yeah, no, it's been wonderful. I mean, I spent 5 years in Portugal. I spent 3.5 years in Lithuania, 2.5 years in Germany. I mean, I've spent semesters in Argentina and half a year in Brazil. And it's really giving you a chance because when you go and travel as vacation, you only see the best. You see all the wonderful things. But here's the thing is, no one likes going to wait for the cable in the U.S. Well, guess what? You have to get your cable or your internet in Portugal or in Lithuania or something like that. And that sucks there, too. I mean, it's just one of those things like, hey, you know what? Paying taxes, not fun anywhere, okay? But when you live there, you have to deal with these things. And a lot of people forget that. And that's why I'll talk to a lot of students and they're like, well, I want to go work abroad. I want to work abroad. I'm like, okay, well, working abroad is cool. You know,
yeah.
You do get to have your beer in Berlin and your pizza in Rome. But you also have to deal with, you know, trying to find a time to get the cable person to come or try to figure out a time when you get sick when you go abroad. I mean, it's a lot more complicated than a vacation. And also, you know, you're getting an apartment versus a hotel that takes care of you. So there's a lot more cost. But the thing is, it makes for a much more richer experience when you live there because you really understand the culture versus understanding, like, what it means to be a tourist.
Yeah, and you kind of portray that in your videos. So, first of all, I got to ask you, the first thing I really got to know is, how did this get started for you? How did you start doing these videos? Which, by the way, if you're not familiar with Walter's World, over 10 million views. That's impressive.
Well, actually, it's 100 million views.
Oh, 100 million views? I'm that far off?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I actually have it written down right. I read it wrong.
That's okay. Yeah, no, we actually hit 100 million views this week, which when I started out, I was like, oh, my God, I never thought something like this would happen because I'm a husky fellow, and I never thought a husky fellow could get so many views, and we've had so many great supporters and people watching comment. It's been fantastic, you know? Yeah, there's an occasional troll, but, I mean, overall, it's been fantastic support we've had over the years. So it's been a fun road, but it really started out, I remember exactly how I really decided I want to do these videos. I want to help people travel better. I was in Italy, and I was doing my PhD in Portugal, so I had some time off. So I went to Italy to go study Italian for a month and stuff like that, and I got this guidebook. And this guidebook I bought at the airport, and like the first city it had, it wasn't in alphabetical order. So I'm like, oh, the first city must be pretty important. So I go, I'm reading the guide, I'm like, man, this city looks fantastic. It sounds great. And I show my friends in Italy, they're like, man, I've never heard of this town, but it sounds cool. You go for the weekend, or you go and see it, and then we'll go for the weekend together. We'll let you know. And so I go there, and the palazzo's closed down, and the museum's, like, you know, not worth seeing. And it's just, like, I'm like, wait, the guidebook made it sound so fantastic, but it wasn't that great at all. And then I kind of realized some of the things that always bothered me about travel books and guidebooks and sometimes the blogs out there is everyone makes everything sound so fantastic. Like, every city is the Paris of the North, the Prague of the West, and stuff like that. And you're like, wait a minute, not every city is really worth visiting. Or if there's good parts of every place, but there's also bad things you got to think about. You know, like the number of tourists that complain that you have to pay for the bread and cheese in Portugal, that upsets you. Like, but if you knew about it, hey, it wouldn't upset you because you're prepared. And so I kind of thought about it, and I'm like, man, think of my friends. Like you were saying, people get a week off of work. Maybe it's your one time you get to travel to Europe in your life, or maybe like once a decade or something like that, and you go for 10 days. And you read this guidebook, and it says this place is fantastic. You go, and it's a horrible trip. The city, there's nothing worth seeing. It's not really that great. You kind of go, I just wasted 10% of this trip of my lifetime because a guidebook wasn't honest with me. So we've always focused on making honest travel advice. We started with doing videos on five things you'll love and hate about going places. And so sometimes the hates aren't like real hates. It's more like things that are going to annoy you, you know?
Yes, yeah.
And then we went from there. Then it was like fun culture shocks. We go like, there's a whole set of videos on 10 things that shock tourists when they go someplace. And then we started to go into, you know, things you don't do when you go to travel places. And so we try to put it out there like this honest, like not just vibe, but honest advice, so then people are better prepared. Because, you know, people don't follow me to see me do backflips off a cliff into a pool or drone footage. We're there to help people travel better. It's like, look, I want you to go. If you're taking your family to Rome, I want you to be prepared for that. So when you go, you can have the best time possible. You can be safe, and you can enjoy the culture a little bit better. So it's more like a reportage of what's going to happen, and it really helps people out. And that's one thing that's really driven us over the years is just knowing how many people we've been to help, and it's been really, really great.
Yeah, and I will say this too. What I really do enjoy your videos, and at first glance, you might not get this impression, but you really are a very positive person, and your videos are fun too. This is not, hey, downer, this place is going to suck. No, it's like, hey, just a couple things just to look out for so you can have a fabulous time on your vacation.
Yeah, because the thing is every town, I mean, every town has some redeeming value. You can find that. And that's one thing I do like about the travel books is because they do find, here's the good things for you to do. And I think that's a really positive thing. But if you're prepared for the bad as well, it just makes it much more, you're more prepared for it. So it's not a disappointment. It's something you kind of expect. It's like, oh, I was looking out for that. It's like, you know, if you're on Las Ramblas in Barcelona, you know there's going to be a lot of pickpockets there. So you're prepared. So you don't get pickpocketed. Or you're like, oh, I caught that guy trying to get me. You feel better about it than the shock of where's my wallet.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Well, okay, when did these start? How long ago? Because, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but you have a pretty drastic physical transformation from the earlier videos to today.
Yes. When I first started making the videos, I was a single man working out all the time, and now I've probably put on about 100 pounds since I started making these videos. My wife's a fantastic cook, and she's a wonderful woman.
She is gorgeous, by the way. You even actually address that in the videos. Like, look how gorgeous my wife is. Everybody's always wondering how I got such a gorgeous wife.
Yeah, it's like, well, you know, and I tell them, say, look, if you're a good person, you'll be fine. She's a gorgeous person inside too. It's not just, you know, that's one of the things. It started. I mean, we're not quite at 10. It'll be like 10 years next year. We'll be doing Walter's World, and it started off. Part of it was I teach, and so I was teaching in Portugal, so I wanted to help my students whose maybe their English wasn't that good, so they could watch the videos to make sure they learned the vocabulary, and they learned the marketing tools, the business tools that they need to know for their exams. And then I started making, and when I was engaged, I started making language videos for Jocelyn. I'm like, look, I want you to be prepared when you come to Portugal. So I made her videos like about Lisbon and about the language here so she could be better prepared. And then it kind of just evolved and evolved from that. And it started just trying to help out my students and help out my fiance at the time. And now it's trying to help as many travelers as we can.
And back when you started too, a lot of people didn't really kind of know what YouTube was all about. I mean, everybody's on, you know, anybody can have a YouTube channel. So you were kind of a pioneer back then, I imagine.
Yeah. I mean, if I think back to it, I wish I would have invested the time to figure out how to edit videos because I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't have a tripod. I mean, I would put my little point and shoot camera that filmed at like crappy, pardon my language, at bad resolutions, and I would just put it like on a rock. and I pushed record, and then I talked to it, or I'd squat in these weird positions and stuff like that to make sure I could get there. And my friends used to always make fun of me because they're like, dude, just get a tripod. I'm like, I don't want to carry a tripod around. I'll look like a tourist. I'm like, dude, you are a tourist. It's okay. And so over the years, I did upgrade. I got a tripod that fits in my backpack, like my little backpack. Uh-huh. I'm like, okay, that's fine. Because I don't want to have all the, you don't want to have all the bulky equipment, because then you start looking like a target and a tourist instead of just a tourist that's enjoying stuff. So I have, you know, we use a Sony Alpha 6000, which is a, you know, it's like a normal camera, not this big, huge lens stuff. So I can just pop it on my tripod, put it up there, talk for a little bit, you know, on Los Aranzos or outside the Coliseum, fold it back up, back in my backpack. I'm just a normal tourist again. And that's really helped us to like kind of get people to act normal when they're going by, versus when there's, you know, a big TV camera or something like that. People are like, oh, what's going on here? Here, they're like, they kind of look at me, what's this fat guy doing? Like, why is he talking to his camera? You know, and the funny thing is, there's been a couple times the police have come. Once was actually where my grandma's from. I was filming at in their town square. And, you know, so you got the tripod up, and the cop comes up and he's like, hey, I'm like, hey, how's it going? He's like, yeah, I got a call about a crazy guy talking to himself on the square. he's like, I know, man, don't worry about it. But I had to like fill out all the forms.
Oh my God.
I'm not crazy. Here's my ID. And it was hilarious because I'm like, all right, no problem. But then, I mean, we were in Beijing and we were filming there, and a guy came up to us in his uniform. Like, I'll stop right now. He's like, no, you can go ahead. It's okay. I'm like, oh no, I'm fine. I don't want. Any trouble, I'll gladly walk away. It's okay.
You know, I was actually going to ask you about that too, how you filmed this, because I was wondering if you did it on like an iPhone, which the resolution on iPhone is so much improved in the past 10 years, and if your wife held the camera, because whenever I've made travel videos myself, my wife has a very short span of attention when it comes to my projects. Like, are we done now? I was like, I'd really like to do another take. That was good enough.
I think our wives are related. Because I know, because that's another reason why I have the tripod, because Joss will hold the camera, and it isn't like a light camera. So she's like, I can do about a minute holding this, and I got to put it down. So when she's doing the ones where like kind of walking around, it'll be, you know, like 30 seconds here, then another video like part, like a minute there and stuff like that. That's why I'm like, look, for the tripod, I can put it up. She can play with the kids, or she can do her thing, and I'll do my thing. Because now a lot of times when we travel, you know, I do my research before we go. But the thing is, I don't like write everything before we leave. I have my ideas.
Yeah.
But I say, look, let's go and explore to make sure, like, not maybe to confirm, but also like look and say, what's my real experience? And then we kind of put our own feel on things. Like, look, this is, you know, it's funny. Like, you'll read, I mean, there's a town in Brazil. You go to Mariana, and there's like a train from Ouro Preto, and every guidebook's like, it's a half-hour delightful train ride. I'm like, I've been on that train before. I don't remember it being a half an hour. I get on the train. So we were back in Brazil a couple years ago. At Ouro Preto, like, oh, we've got to go. But I'm like, it's not. She's like, Mara, I said, oh, it says half an hour. I'm like, honey, it's not. We get on, the first thing you say, welcome to your 1 hour and 10 minute trip to Mariana. I'm like, see, I told you. It's not always that way. And so, we've had a fun time learning from each other and working with each other. And Jocelyn started to do more videos now. She's just very camera shy. Cause she's like, why doesn't she get on? Because she speaks very well. She's very well spoken. She's very well read. She can talk about all kinds of great stuff, but she just, you know, more camera shut. She's like, Mark, that's your thing. You do that. I'm okay with it. I'll do it sometimes, you know. So it'll be, you know, 10 videos for me and then one video for her, which I think works well.
Well, you know, you were saying too how you started this when you were single, and now you have kids who you travel with. And that's kind of the interesting thing to me also, is how much your kids are all part of this.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is a lot of people will say, oh, you're a family blogger. I'm like, well, my family's with me when we do this. The travel advice we give is for any kind of travel.
Yeah,
like, that's one thing. Like, our logo is a guy standing next to a train. And the thing is, it can be anybody. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're rich or you're poor, you're a backpacker, you're a family, you're all taking the train. It's kind of like a great equalizer. So we're trying to help all travelers out there. And so some people are like, oh, well, you just focus on family stuff. I'm like, have you watched the videos? Like, we do have some videos talking about how to pack a carry-on for kids and how to deal with screaming kids on a plane and stuff like that. But most of it's just general travel advice. And sometimes the kids are running the background. And yes, in our B-roll, Liam will pop up every so often.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and Caleb, because that's how it is. And what we try to do is we want to show people that you can travel with kids. because I can't tell many times that, like, people will, like, post a picture of, oh, we're pregnant, this is my last trip until they're 18. I'm like, no, you can travel with your kids. I mean, Liam, our youngest, was born abroad, and he was traveling. His first trip was at 6 weeks, and Caleb, he was born in the U.S., and his first trip was to Arizona at 6 weeks. Like, we started them early. If you start early with your kids, for them, it's normal. You know, that they're used to doing the travel, and our kids travel better than a lot of adults. The thing is, it's more that people are scared of it. Like, I don't try, I don't want to deal with it, it just seems too scary, and I'm just going to give up with traveling because of kids. And I'm like, that's the silliest thing, because I've seen a lot of places in the world, but the thing is, I go back and see places again because I want my kids to see it. Yeah, I've been to Wales before. I've been to London dozens of times, but my youngest, he never been to Wales, and he never been to London. I'm like, no, we need to go. I want you to see this. I want you to see the Tower Bridge and stuff like that. You know, and we went there, and he was like, oh, it's the bridge for the movies, and then he got really excited because there was a write-up about all the animals that used to live in the Thames. He's like, oh, did you know this animal was here and this animal was here? I'm like, I did not know that. And you get that kind of like happy burst. It's like seeing it again for the first time. And that's one of the greatest things about traveling with your kids. So I always tell people, look, take the kids. If you don't want to take the kids, that's okay. But just know that you don't have to leave the kids behind. You know, it's just, I always feel that they add more to the trip, because then you also have things you talk about. Because think about it. If you're traveling with your kids, you have stories. We talk about, remember when you were eating frog legs in France with Caleb and Liam, remember, you know, or Caleb, like, remember when you cracked your head open in Portugal? Oh, yes, I remember that. Like, we have stories to talk about. And we actually will travel with my parents or my in-laws, and so the grandparents travel with us too, and so there's stories. So it's not just remember when we made cookies and how was school. It was, hey, remember we were in Germany, remember we were in Brazil, remember the wedding we went to in Sao Paulo. Like, they have more to talk about, so it makes for more like enriching conversations. And I know with my parents, because they my parents, we didn't travel at all. Like, our vacations as a kid, where we went to Ohio, you know, we went to Cedar Point in Sandusky, Ohio.
I went to Cedar Point as a kid.
Yeah, that was our vacation every summer.
Yes, ours too.
Ohio and Sandusky. And so my parents never really traveled abroad for fun. I mean, my dad would do it for work. My mom, they didn't do it for fun until I was actually doing my master's in Germany. And then they go, this is pretty nice. And so it actually brought my parents and I closer together, all this traveling. So now we talk about our trips, and it's kind of like when you talk, like, if you're older and you have adult kids, you're kind of like, yeah, it's really nice to hang out with my adult kids and really talk to them and have an enjoyable time with them. It really helps for those things. Because, yeah, I'm going to go see my mom this weekend, and you know, we're talking about a trip that her and I are going to go on together to find out about our Scottish heritage. And so it's really kind of a great thing. So I always tell people, look, don't leave the kids out. I mean, they're worth taking with you.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. And you know what? And if I could just piggyback on that, I started going on vacation with my parents who are retired. And what a great experience to, you know, because, you know, when you're vacation with your parents, even if you went somewhere special as a kid, your parents are parenting when you're 10 years old or when you're 15 years old.
Exactly.
They're not parenting now.
Sometimes they're parenting.
Sometimes. Yes. Yeah, sometimes. They are. But for the most part, you get to see your parents on a whole nother level. And it's really neat to kind of, you know, get to know each other as adults. And it's very, very cool. And now they're laughing at you as you're the parent. I love that part, too.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. They have a good time with that one.
So has there been anything that you've tried to do on video and it just failed? You've like tried it, you know, like, man, I thought that was going to work and I just can't even post it.
There's a whole series I've been working on for, like, you know, facts about different countries and stuff like that. I've been filming it all over the place. And I haven't really gotten to figure out the, like, right, like, balance of fact and fun that would work with what we do. So I have hundreds of videos just waiting to get going, but
really?
I haven't figured out how to crack the nut yet, because I don't just want to be like, here's 10 facts about, you know, Illinois.
Yeah.
I want to be like, hey, here's something that's going to learn, because my idea is, like, let's help it for a fun perspective. But also, I mean, how many of us had to sit with our kids and help them with their state, you know, your report on your state in like second grade or third grade?
Yeah.
Like, I want to have one of those 10 facts be like, look, this is for you parents that have to fill out all those forms and help your kid know that Lincoln wasn't actually born in Illinois. He was actually born in, you know, another, like, I want to have those facts to help people out too. So I'm trying to figure out the best way to do that. So that's what I've been filming for years, but I haven't really got my head around how to best kind of present it. So that'll be one where people can see the transformations you were talking about. Like, wait, Mark's got short hair. He's almost skinny. Oh, he's really chubby there. You know, you're going to have all these different things. So it's kind of like, if I can figure it out, that'll be one of those ones where I get the videos down. I'm like, look, we're going to do a long trip where I'm not going to be online for a while, so I'm just going to put all those online, so it's just a bunch of them back-to-back. So hopefully one day I'll figure out how to crack that nut.
All right. So as a person who's got over 100 million YouTube views, and what's the total number of videos, by the way, that you have posted?
There's like 1,500.
1,500? Oh, my gosh. That's very prolific. That's amazing. That's an amazing body of work. Wow. Okay, so if someone came to you and said, Mark, I love your videos. I'm going to Europe for my very first time. Where do I need to go?
What I usually tell people is I usually assume people have 2 weeks to go, 10 to 12 days or 10 to 14 days, because they either leave on a Friday or they leave on a Friday and they come back the next Sunday, or it's a full 2 weeks. And I usually say, look, you can focus one area. If you're going to focus one area, focus someplace that maybe relates to your family or something like that, so you have kind of a draw in there. But if you're looking for like a general kind of thing, I have a video actually. It's like first time itinerary. I say, look, you want to do a multi-city ticket. Don't fly in and out of the same place because you're going to waste one of your days traveling. And so I say, it's like, look, fly into London, spend a few days there, take the train down to Paris, spend some time in Paris, then fly out of Prague because there's cheap airlines. You can go get there for, you know, $50, you know, from Paris to Prague. See that, then go from Prague to Rome, and then fly out of Rome back home. Because that gives you, you know, 4 days in each one of those, you know, 3 to 4 days in each one of those spots. So you can get a taste of it in such different kind of cultures. Each one of those, that gives you an idea. Hey, where am I going to come back to? You know, that's why when people take tours and stuff like that, people sometimes make fun. They're like, oh, well, you're seeing stuff so fast. I'm like, yeah, but it gives you kind of a feel. So when you decide, you know what, I want to come back with my family, I really enjoyed my time in France. I want to go back to France and spend, you know, a week in Normandy because I saw it on that trip. It gives people like a taste, and then you know what works best for them. Because sometimes it's like, you know what, I don't like the too many tourists in Rome, so maybe I'm going to a place that's a little bit less touristy. So there's those things. But my go-to two-week ones, London, Paris, Prague, Rome.
Very nice. Very nice. You know what? I just got back from Budapest, and I was watching your video on Budapest. And you're like,
oh, that's an old one.
Yes. And it was like, I was thinking, man, you picked the worst time. You're standing in the snow on top of the castle overlooking the Danube. Oh, yeah. And I thought, ooh, man, I'm so glad I went when it was like nice and warm.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And after I filmed that, my oldest, who's 12 now, he was 3 in that video. He's 3. I'm carrying him, and while we're on the way home, somehow his boot fell off his foot. So we get back to the hotel, and he's got one boot because he's totally asleep. And I'm like, oh, man. So we're like, okay, we got – because we still had to go from Budapest to Vienna, Bratislava. We had a bunch of other stuff to go through. I'm like, well, it looks like we're shoe shopping tomorrow.
Well, one of the reasons I really wanted you on to is not only that I enjoyed your videos and your work, but I had comedian Bert Kreischer on not too long ago. He's been on the Travel Channel. He had Flip Trip and Bert the Conqueror. Yeah. And we're talking about, and he gave this advice, and you are the embodiment of his advice. And I thought this was very cool. And just to show that it can be done, his advice were, hey, if you want to be on the Travel Channel, don't wait for the Travel Channel to call you. Go somewhere on vacation. You can do it on your iPhone. Learn to edit on your computer. And make your own videos and start showing them to your friends. And then, you know, it'll build and kind of learn the craft and everything. And this is exactly what you did. And now you've got, did you say 1,500 videos and over 100 million views?
Yeah, no, I agree. Just go out there. Because what I always tell people, like, hey, we want to make travel videos too. I'm like, make them, because everyone has a different perspective. And so your perspective, there's going to be somebody like you that enjoys your perspective, that understands your perspective, and that can help other people travel. That's what I say. It's like, go make more videos, make more blogs so people can be better prepared when they travel, so they can have a better time when they do travel. So I agree with them. Just go make your videos, share it out there, you know, and you know, try to help people out.
I really enjoyed your work, Mark, and thank you so much for being on the podcast. I had a great conversation with you, and I can't wait to share it with everybody.
Well, I appreciate it. I wish you fantastic travels wherever you're going, and all you fellow travelers watching out there, I hope you have great travels as well.
Mark Walters from Walters World. And by the way, I'm going to link on our travelwithhawkeye.net blog some of my favorite Walters World videos that I enjoy, and love to hear your comments about ones you enjoy also. And we'll find out all that information on travelwithhawkeye.net. Click on our blog. I'm Mark Hawkeye Lewis. You've been listening to the Travel with Hawkeye podcast. Remember, the world is out there. Your adventure awaits.